right, before we get into the message, we have we had baby dedication last week, and we're already starting to prepare for baby dedication next year. We have two to add to the expecting list: Miguel and Lupe Arichiga. Did I get it right? Nice. Okay, they're expecting. Let's give them a hand. And a kiss. And Jesse and Sarah Forster, they're expecting. Let's give them a hand. Congratulations. We're very excited about that. So we have about a year. So if you know how that works, it takes about 9 months to have the baby. So in the next few months, if you can help us, of course, we're real close here with George and his wife, so we'll be real good with that. Okay, I want us to get, we're a little bit later. I will not go extra long tonight. We are starting a little bit later. We're going to look in Ecclesiastes. And again, we've been talking about social media and technology, and really I could take that title off of it and take the principles from the scripture that we've been talking about and just apply it to life. It just applies to life, and it applies to relationships. And I hope you understand what I'm trying to do here. I'm not trying to be mean, although you may have a different thought about that when I get done tonight. I'm going to be real honest, because the scripture is very honest. But we're destroying relationships simply because of how we interrelate with one another, particularly how we talk with one another. And really, social media has given a platform for us to go out there in a very non-Christian way to deal with things. And we have to be careful about that. As we talked about when we mentioned Galatians, you know, we either are going to walk in the Spirit or we're going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And if you look at those things that have to do with the lust of the flesh, a lot of those are sinful things, but there's also relationship-driven things. And it's just a constant battle that we have. When it comes to let's apply it. When it comes to the relationships, sometimes we have irritations, the flesh and our spirit, whatever it is. That's nature. That's human nature. But if we're not careful, we allow social media to be an outlet in a wrong way to bring those forth, and in a very unhelpful way, so that it causes more trouble than it actually does to help. The scripture we read in Ecclesiastes, really, this could be the biography of the average social media user. Okay. And by the way, there are good things on social media. There are also bad things. There's a lot of ugly. People just think because they get on there and they have a platform, they can just say what they want, how they want, about somebody in a very, very wrong way, in a very, really, let's be honest, a very hurtful way. And we lay it out there for the world to see. And the point I'm trying to get to us is that really how a Christian should be? If you would not say something about somebody in a crowd out loud, why would you say it online? There's no difference. It's just that you don't see the crowd. The crowd's silent. And we can be very hurtful one to another. And so we need to be careful about there. There are some things mentioned by way of introduction in Ecclesiastes that we need to look at. When people are using their words and the things they're saying in the wrong way, look at verse 11. They'll say hurtful things without provocation. Verse 11 says, "Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a babbler's no better." You come up on a snake the wrong way, you don't have to irritate them. They'll take a bite out of you. Isn't that how people are? You know, I am convinced there are some people, they just like the fight. They just like to take bites at people. And it's not right. Look at verse 12. Verse 12 tells us they are not gracious even if it hurts themselves. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. We're going to talk about, that's one of the points in a little bit. But the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. What you say about somebody online, and I might be repeating myself what's coming earlier, is hurtful to others, but it's also hurtful to yourself. Okay, what you say says a lot about you. Verse 13, the beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. You start out critical and then you get worse. You become harsh. Once you start spilling stuff out, you just keep going and going and going. Sometimes wisdom is not saying something you want to say, right? Let me ask you this, especially if you're married, you can testify, but I won't give you the opportunity. Have you ever said something, as soon as the words came out of your mouth, it's like, I wish I could grab those back. Yeah, it's like, that didn't help. And it's like, oh my. But we go online and we'll do that. We even have time to think about it. But once we get in that frame of mind and we start going, we started out here and we ended up over here. We have to be very careful about that. Verse 14, a fool is also full of words. You ever notice they can go on and on and on? A man cannot tell what he shall be and what shall be after. Who can tell him? We're just full. Look, you get on there and somebody says something. So I'm going to debate with them. And you could come up with an ironclad argument and they're just going to come back. It doesn't end. And by the way, some people just like that, don't they? They just like the thrill of irritating others and the thrill of just going on and on and on and on. Be very careful. That's why engaging them is a waste of time. The point is this. Social media is an outlet for that kind of behavior and, in a worst case scenario, that kind of person. And if we're not careful, it's a temptation to pull us in so that we start acting like that. We're hearing other people do that on social media, and you get involved in, they'll say something, and then, here's the comment section, and then you're going to start chirping in and chiming in, and it just keeps going on and on and on. And as I mentioned on the first lesson, just because you use social media does not mean that you can violate the principles of Scripture and how we socially interact with one another. Well, the Bible doesn't talk about social media. I know, but it talks about how we communicate our words. And when you're on social media, not even social, just technology in general, or even talking to somebody or texting, that's using your words. Okay? And just because you're not verbally saying it doesn't mean that the script, that's what it's talking about. Our words, what we're saying. We went through several things, and I'm just going to mention them. I'm not going back over them. The first two, if we got those, we would stop right here. First of all, was the principle of glory. Everything we do ought to be done to the glory of God. Before you click send, you ought to look at that and say, does that glorify God? If the answer is no, whether you think what you're saying is right or wrong, don't send it. Don't put it online. Okay? We talked about the principle of unity. Satan's plan has always been to divide Christians and divide churches. Because that, if they're caught up in this interpersonal conflict thing, then what happens is the energy they could use for a friend day for reaching people for Christ is used to try to put fires out. We talked about the principle of morality last week. The principle of sight, which kind of goes with morality. Let me give you a new one here. The principle of association. We associate with people on social media that we may not associate with face-to-face. We do understand, and this isn't a condemnation of others. This is not what that's about. It's about our spiritual health. There are certain people the Bible tells us that we are told to avoid. What, I'm better than them? No one said that. But there are certain characteristics or certain people that if you're around them and associating with them, you're going to pick up their vibes. You're going to pick up their spirit. You're going to pick up their attitude. That's just how we are. These are the people whom God warns us about. Why should we be careful? What does the principle of association teach us? I'm going to give you some verses. We don't have time to flip to them. There's just one. Write them down and I'll quote them and you can look at them. Here's a principle. We look like we agree with those whom we don't, or we will start to agree with them. If we're associating with them. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? You say, well, I don't agree with that person's attitude. I don't agree with their criticisms. I don't agree with their this. Yeah, but you're following them and you're conversing with them. So why? If I can't sit here and talk to somebody, if someone's sitting here and they're critical about my wife, I ain't talking to them. I'm going to tell them to get lost. And if they need help, I might help them. But we'll do that online? about the cause of Christ and the things of Christ? You say, I don't agree with them, but you're going back and forth. And by the way, sometimes people do agree with them. Oh, you go. You just pointed out what kind of person you are. That's just how it is. And by the way, God, there's so much good to Christianity when our spirit gets drugged down like that. We got to be very careful. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 24. Some people we follow, and even just hang around. I don't do that. Okay, people we hang around with. We begin to buy into their attitude. What does Proverbs 22, 24 say? Make no friendship with an angry man. Now, God's going to tell us why. And with with a furious man thou shalt not go. Another verse in Proverbs says, lest thou learn his ways. Right? I got to be careful here. I wasn't saved. But there were certain people when I wasn't saved I'd go out with, and they were just really good at getting in trouble. I mean, if trouble didn't have to find them, they went and found trouble. And it's like, why is it we can go to the same event and you're getting in fistfights and you've got all this nonsense going on and I'm fine? Because you're dragging it in by your attitude. But if we're like following somebody that's angry, we're constantly listening to this thing without trying to figure out, hey, wait a minute, are they right or wrong, or am I just listening to it? You're going to become like them. That's just how it works. If we shouldn't be a friend with somebody, then why should we follow them? And I'm not saying that we hate them or we isolate them, but there's a difference between caring and loving for people and bringing them in your circle, right? Okay, that's bringing somebody in your circle that has attributes that are not godly. It's gonna rub off on you. We buy into their attitude. Next, underneath association, why would we hook up with someone online that we have different values than? Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 17. You can write that down. Let me read it to you. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Why? Well, we're saved and they're not. Now, again, we're not better than anybody else. By the grace of God, we're saved. Amen? Okay? But that's talking about this deep one-on-one and this thing where their values are completely different. What is our goal for people we know at work? We would like them to meet Jesus Christ. And yes, we should befriend them in a proper way to help them get there, of course. What fellowship hath, and he's explaining it actually further. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? These are rhetorical questions. The answer is none. Right? Unrighteous. Righteousness, unrighteousness, completely different. What communion, and I'm not going to go through these words. I think we used it in the separation sermon. But these are deep, deep fellowship, friendship type words. What communion hath light with darkness? None. None. Darkness will either snuff out the light, or the light will reveal the darkness. What concord hath Christ with Belial? None. What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? None. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? None. They're opposite. For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath saith, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And he just sums it up, verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You see, I try to love everybody. And I'll be kind and nice and helpful to anybody I can. But there's a big difference between that and bringing someone into my inner circle. If they're anti-God, and even if it's just because they're unsaved and they don't know better, I get it. I'm going to be very careful about that. I'm not going to let that get into my life. And if that's all I'm following on my social media, who's influencing me? By the way, you say, oh, it's not influence. What do they call these people? We get all these new, I mean, 20 years ago, we didn't have these kind of careers, right? YouTuber. A YouTuber. Jason, how old's Jason? Jason's like first grade. When he was like in kindergarten, he goes, you know, we were driving home from church together. He goes, you know, Grandpa, I wanted to be a YouTuber. I don't want to be a YouTuber. I think I'm going to be a missionary. I'm like, what's this YouTuber? And then I saw how much they make, and I'm like, you know, Jason, let's think about this for a minute. Are you committed to tithing? Yes. No, I'm kidding. And he said, because he was, of all things, I was reading my Bible. I'm like, wow, okay. Kid got it. But here we go. Here's the new one. Are you ready? You've heard it. Social influencer. People that influence through their social media accounts. They know that social media influences. Why do we as Christians kind of not understand that? Right? Unless you feel like you can walk on both sides of the fence. There's a lot of things I want to say tonight. I don't want you to be upset with me. I'm not picking at anybody. But since we're talking about social media, I'm just going to be honest about things that are not godly and are irritating. You get online with a certain person, your language totally turns. You start using cuss words. You start talking filthy. Where'd you get that from? Why is that okay if you would not say that publicly? Why is it okay to say it on social media? You just identified yourself that you're struggling. I'm sorry. And yet, we'll say that and we'll follow people that'll say nonsense and they're like that and we'll listen to what they say. I'm telling you, we have to be careful. I want to guard. Now, look, I want to hear the truth. I get it. If something's going on that needs to be dealt with, I used to be, back in the early days, that's why I'm glad that I wasn't the pastor, conflict avoidance. That maybe it's because I was the last born of my family, right? I don't want to deal with it. But I've been a pastor for over 9 years now. I'm in. There's a problem. Let's go. Let's fix it. Let's deal with it. Let's get on it, and let's see what we can do to come to resolution. But that doesn't help. And your language says a lot about you. I'm just going to say that right now. And this in this childish talk, you know, dog, what's up, dog? What are you? You want to be a rap artist? Don't you speak English? Come on, you're not a junior hire anymore. Wicked. Great. God, my phrases are like, not my phrase, like groovy. All right. That's just like, yeah, so there goes the Brady Bunch again. But be very careful. What happens? We begin to downplay their morality if we follow them, right? 1 Corinthians 5:9 says, I wrote unto you an epistle not to company, be a friend with fornicators, those that are involved in sexual sin. Company means to associate with, to mix together with. See, what happens is, if we allow ourselves to, and again, I'm not, I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm not, we're supposed to love everybody and reach this world, but we have to be careful they don't reach us. Okay? And when we put ourselves in a situation where we're allowing them to dominate the activities or what's going on, we're going to be influenced. But one of the things that happens, they're involved in a certain lifestyle, and we'll hang around with them. We'll say, well, they're a nice person. Nobody said they weren't a nice person. No, nobody said that. Well, you know, they're hardworking. Nobody said that. But we see how they are, and we don't understand that they're acting a certain way because they're unsaved, or worst case scenario, they're a really backslidden Christian, and we start to downplay the sin that they're involved with. Well, maybe that thing's not that bad after all. I don't care if they're a wonderful person. If they're involved in something God says don't do, they need to get that fixed. And it doesn't make it right just because they're a good person. Or they're not a... No one's saying they're a horrible person. Hopefully I wasn't a horrible person when I was unsaved and living the way I was. And it's even worse if it's a brother. 1 Corinthians 5:11, two verses later. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetousness. That's a sin we don't really deal with. You know what I'm saying? Anyhow. Or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner. With such a one, know not to eat. When somebody is a Christian, and we all sin, I understand that. Don't get... But when someone's open about their sin who's a Christian... I didn't say this. Please don't get upset with me. If you're going to get upset, you get upset with, I was going to say God, but you can blame Paul, but God used Paul to write it. God says don't eat with them. That sounds harsh. It's for our sake, mostly. It's, but it's for our sake. When you eat with someone, there's kind of a, you know, you're sitting there. It's not that you're just like staring at each other as you're filling your mouth, right? But it's like there's a, you know, you're talking and you're hanging out together. It's very, very, you have to be very careful about that. So if I can't eat with them, why should I follow them and make comments and like the stuff they're posting? Because it's going to influence you. That is the principle of association, right? What happens, too, is we become part of their divisiveness. Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Do you see what he said? He said, see who they are? Now, it doesn't mean you grab a marker. Pay attention, like, you know what? That person's divisive. That person is causing conflict. I should avoid them. Why? Because you know when you're around someone that causes conflict and you're with them, what happens? Yeah. You're with some, you know, you'd be somewhere and someone's, you know, starts a big, like in the days when I wasn't, we'd out hanging around. One of the, if we were all together and one guy started a fight, we were all in on it because we're right there. And he started it. He ran his mouth. It's just, you're part of that. Be very, very careful. I heard this years ago. This was Dr. Larry Brown. He said this, you are now or soon will be what your friends are. Just because we're not hanging out with the wrong kind of person physically doesn't make it okay to hang out with or follow them through technology. Because online or in person, you are being influenced. Now, I'm not trying to be negative tonight, but I'm looking at the ills of social media. Let's look at the positive side. Let the right kind of people influence you. I like reading things and seeing things that are positive. That's why I don't even follow. I mean, I keep up with the news because I need to, but like I used to have Twitter, and it's like Fox or whatever, and it's like, and if you follow them, that's fine. But like, there's like 12 stories every minute, and I'm like, I don't want to be depressed. I don't need nothing, but I need it. I need enough to know what's going on, but I just, can I get some encouragement somewhere, right? Can I get something that's like, hey, we had a great day at church. I'm like, bang. Our church had our 50th anniversary. I was preaching a meeting in this. I'm like, I want that. Bring it in. So it works both ways. And then we'll go one more and we'll be done for tonight. The principle, and this one's going to be a little rougher, but that's okay. It's Christian. The principle of slander. Slander. What a person says about others and how they say it shows who they are and what they're trying to accomplish. And I'll explain that. Slander is when you say things about other individuals. Slander, accuser. By the way, the name Satan, devil, one of those two, I forget which one. Which one is it? Satan or devil? One of those, you know what that word means? I think it means accuser or slanderer. That's literally what it's either Satan or devil. That's literally what it means. And by the way, before you say, yeah, but it's true, everything Satan says about us before God is typically true. Look at this louse God he sent. I'm like, yeah, I did. That doesn't make it right. Getting kind of quiet. In fact, I don't even want to say anything anymore. These two speakers are right here. Can you turn those off? I don't want to hear myself. Let's look at some verses, shall we? Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 28. A froward man soweth strife. And a whisperer separateth chief friends. Why do we sow something? Because we want it to produce something. Do you get that? If I sow seed in the ground, I want something to come up out of the ground as a result of that seed. A forward man soweth, what is he planting? Strife. And a whisperer separateth chief friends. When we get up and we're slanderous of somebody online because we're trying to cause something. And if we do it in ignorance with after we read Proverbs, I hope that we don't do that anymore. You got to understand, everything you says, good English. Everything you say is going to produce something. And you can come back later and say, you know, I just said that because I was mad and I'm sorry. Doesn't matter. Because when you push the ball down the field, someone else is pushing it farther and farther and farther and farther down the field. Well, I got right with God about that. Okay, but you gave somebody a bad name. What did you expect to happen? I planted seeds in the garden. You know what I expected? Well, I have a brown thumb. Everything I would plant dies. But most people, something would grow. Be very careful. Proverbs 20, verse 3. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. I don't want strife. I don't like it. I like peace. I'm glad I don't know a lot of the stuff that probably a lot of you know because of the stuff you follow and look at online. I don't know it all. Be honest with you, I don't want to. And let me just say this. I guess the Spirit's giving me utterance here. It's an honor for a man to cease from strife. If you hear something and you don't squelch it or bring it to where it can be fixed, I guess you don't want strife to cease. You see, I'm getting to the point in my life, and maybe I'm just becoming a crotchety old man. My wife and I went to, was that Lazy Acres? We were buying something very important. It was that pumpkin cake with frosting. Man, that thing is fire. It was after soul winning. I'm like, do you need to stop at Lazy Acres for any reason whatsoever? I wanted an Izzy, and I wanted that cake. And she needed something, so we went. And I'm in line, and I should have been offended. The lady there, and I looked, and I saw the price, and I'm like, it was like $80. My wife bought other stuff. And then when I paid, it was like $70. And I looked down on it, and it said senior discount. Hold on. And I thought, how dare she? I was so offended, and then I looked. I'm like, that was 10% off. Bring it on. Let's go. My sense of cheapness kicked in. Anyhow, I don't know where you're going with that, but I don't let just phrases go by. And I talk to enough people. You're in my office. You may do that. I'll talk to somebody, and they'll be talking a sentence, and they'll just mention some little phrase. I'll like stop right there. I'm not letting that phrase go by. That's not true. Or it's out of context, and if you've been in my office, I've done that. You're not the only person. I'm not getting on you. Sometimes we say something, and I'm like, hold on, stop right there. That's not true. The way you said it, maybe, but I just want you to let you know because I want to explain that. But so I don't like strife. Now, if I have to get involved with things, I will. But every fool will be meddling. Let's be careful. Proverbs 26:17, he that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him. Oh, back to it. It would help if we listen, if we hear things, if we squelch it right there and push people the right direction. Anyhow, he that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. I don't know about you, but I don't think dogs like that. Some dog sitting there, and I'm not just going to go up to some dog I don't know and like, you know what they're probably going to do if they don't know you? Yeah. Now, I might do it to my dogs. They know me enough. I wouldn't hurt them. But it's like, why are you getting involved in something that has nothing to do with you? And we'll get to it. You don't even know both sides of the story. That's the horrible thing about stuff online. People say things and they say it with passion and it's just automatically true and you jump in, you go, I'm on your side. Yeah, bring it out. That's, by the way, if you can show me in the Bible where that's how you handle it, I'll change my tune. But you can't. I don't want to get involved with things that something that has nothing to do with me. Right? What do they tell you? Like, stay away from domestic disputes. Are you with me? Is Brother Pineda here? He may be. When he was living with us, I took him to the DMV, and he was going to get his license. And before we were walking in DMV, there was a girl on the sidewalk with her boyfriend and the girl's dad. And this guy was about ready to beat the dad up, and he was older. And they were just arguing, and Brother Panay and I were looking, and we're like, let's wait until this thing gets, because you don't go get involved with that, right? We go over there, and now the boyfriend and the dad attack us because we're interrupting. Now, it got to the point where the guy was taking his shirt off to jump the dad, so we started running over there, but some other guys saw it, and they got there before us, and they handled it really, really well. But, you know, some things you just don't get involved with. Why are we going to get involved in something that has nothing to do with us, something we don't know the facts about? It's very, because we're taking the dog by the ears. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20 and 21. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. By the way, when I was in Bible college, I heard so many sermons on that. Where no wood is, there the fire goes out. We need the wood of soul winning. We need the wood of love for God. And that's true in a sense, but that has nothing to do with this verse. Okay? So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. You know what he's saying? Like, you don't have a fire without wood. You don't have a problem if you get the person who's running their mouth to be quiet. If they're not there, there is no problem. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. If what you're posting online, listen to me, if what you're posting online causes more problems, you're wrong. Be quiet. Get rid of the wood. Get rid of the coal. You're causing issue. And remember, a couple weeks ago, we read God's hit list. He that soweth discord among the brethren, God says it's an abomination. He hates that intensely. I don't know about you. When God hates something, I don't want to have anything to do with it. Let's be careful. 2 Timothy 2:23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender strifes. Well, you know, Pastor, I wasn't there. I just got on, what is that, Instagram, where you ask questions, and any unlearned person can get up and just say whatever they want anonymously without any facts, without any proof, and we just run with it? You know, it's like, what is the question? They say, when did you stop beating your wife? If you say, I didn't, it's like you're still beating her. There's no good answer there. That's what they're doing. That's gendering strife. It's not helping anybody. By the way, you don't like this, and I kind of don't like it either. It's Christianity 101. It's unity. It's love of the brethren. It's love of God. James 3:16. Where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. It's not bringing conclusion to anything. It's just, it's causing more conflict. And it's causing things which are just flat out wrong. Let me just make a few things here for a few minutes and I'll be done. A person who is constantly talking about others and being critical of others. Now this is where, let's fasten our seatbelts. Okay, I think we've read enough verses. And I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm trying to get our minds in the right place. Can we do that? Okay, I'm just going to say it. A person who is constantly talking about others and being critical of others is not a good person, let alone a good Christian. Sorry. I don't, you say, Pastor, I don't like that. Read Proverbs again. You're not. I have no other way to say it. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be mean-spirited tonight, but I'm sick and tired of relationships and the work of God being trounced and the world scoffing at us because of this type of nonsense. You're not a good person when you do that. Okay, I'm not saying you should go to jail. When you do that, you're not being a good person, and you definitely aren't being a good Christian. What are you trying to accomplish? How's that helping? Show me in the Bible where if you have an interpersonal conflict with something, you don't like something that happened in a institution, a school, where you're supposed to go online and put it on blast out of context, without the facts. Show me in the Bible where you're supposed to do that, and I'll be quiet. People, we got to be biblical. Even online. I don't know, I am old fashioned. I just believe if you're a Christian, you should be a Christian everywhere, every place, every time. And you leave behind bodies and contentions and fights and horrible testimonies. And if there is a legitimate problem, you did nothing to fix it. You did nothing to fix it. No one ever has justification to go online and slander others. Well, it's true. I know. The devil says that too. And be critical of them. And hear me, let me help you with this one too. Or direct message or text either. I don't think you do that in email, right? I mean, people just like, why? Email takes too long. Text, boom. You don't. You can't show me that in the Bible. You can't. You can't. If a person is doing that, and again, you think I'm trying to be mean here. I'm trying to help us. If a person is doing that, please don't listen to what they're saying about others. Listen to what they're saying about themselves. When someone starts acting like that, have a little separation voice in your background to filter what they're saying into Christianity. And here's what they're saying. I am backslidden. I am ungodly. I am acting like a fool. I didn't say you were a fool. I said I'm acting like a fool. Because that's what fools do. I don't think people are fools. They wouldn't be in church at all. But sometimes we do foolish things. It doesn't help. If you can explain to me, maybe I'll get an email from somebody, how this helps, send it to me. And I'll listen. It doesn't help. What's supposed to happen in relationships is that if there's issues, you and the person get together and deal with it. And if the other person doesn't listen, you can walk away with a clear conscience that says, I did the best I could to help that. Well, Pastor, I think they're my enemy. What does the Bible tell us to do for our enemies? Go to social media and blast them out of the water. Pray. And I think we're supposed to bless them. And by the way, don't bless them like this on social media. Hey, I just want a little shout-out blessing to that jerk that was sitting next to me. There's always a workaround, right? Hey, I'm praying for this person because they're really, really horrible. Okay, I know there's a workaround in everything. But be very careful, and I'm not trying to be mean. There's always been the problem of people chirping. We want to talk about people, something in the church, something that happened with other families, something that happened in the workplace. But it's funny how they never want to talk to the person involved. If I have a problem with my son-in-law. Oh, that one's too close to home. I'm not going to go online. Some son-in-laws are just jerks. I'm not going to say it who is, but their last name rhymes with Fromeres. And I give all the details except his name. Right? Not going to say who it is. They have 4 kids. One of them in the crawling race was a paperweight. God bless that kid. He did not make a move. I should just go talk to him. Say, Ryan, why are you being a knucklehead? And you know what else happens? You leave out a lot of facts and details. You don't know the background. And we just automatically assume it's right. That's a problem. As we saw a few weeks ago when we started looking at it, sowing discord is something God despises. I want to be careful here, but it's a good illustration. And, you know, there was somebody, and they moved away in another church. Some of our folks happened to see them and came back and like, this person's saying a lot of things about you guys. You should reach out to them. Now, I know the backstory. I said, what did they say? And I explained both sides of the story, and it was not at all like what they were saying. And I'm like, why didn't that person ever call me? I think it's just a difference of agreement. We could fix it. You see, you know what we say? They won't listen. How do you know? How do you know? And if they don't listen, guess what? Can I just tell you something? You did your job. You did the right thing. You did the right thing. And guess, it's, and then when you're nice to them, the Bible says it's like you're heaping coals of fire on their, on them. It's like they're being mean to you and you're being nice to them and you're trying to work this thing out and they're sitting there and it's going to get to them. But if it doesn't get to them, watch your spirit. Watch who you are. It's very important. What someone who's chirping wants is they want you just to believe what they're saying without any context, without any facts, and without checking it out. And I will say this, and when you listen to them, you're being a chirper too. Because it takes two. One to chirp, one to be chirped too. Someone comes to me and says, so-and-so's out of control and blah, 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 blah. Hey, why don't we get together and work on that? Because I'm just telling you, I believe in 95% of the ish times, it can so be easily worked out. Misunderstanding. But I'll tell you what doesn't help it to get worked out. Social media. And I will say this one more thing, and I will move on. Be careful, especially about these anonymous accounts. These memes. By the way, we have them about stuff about us. And I hope if someone's hearing who does that kind of stuff, you are a coward. And you are not right with God. You know why they don't come out in the open? Because what they're saying isn't true. Why are you hiding behind it? We have this people that don't like Baptists and disciples. Hey, I'm that. Who are you? Why won't you put your name out there? Why are you, and by the way, why are we following them? Well, I want to know what's going on. So you can have a bad spirit? I don't have time for that. Let them, you know what I want? I want to have a great friend day. I want to have a great church service. I want to have a great spirit. You know what I want to do? I want to read my Bible tomorrow and I don't want to think, that knucklehead, they said this about us. What are they doing for God? How are they living? That's why they're behind their accounts. They don't want you to know. Anyhow, I could say a lot of things. And I'm not even trying to be mean. I'll just be honest with you. But this is Christianity. And the core of Christianity is two things, and I'm done. What are they? Love God and love others. And what did God say? If I don't love others, I don't love him. Wow. That's heavy. Because I'll be honest with you, people are irritating. You say, how do you know that? I can be irritating. And so we're supposed to love one another. And social media, if you post something on social media, why don't you post, we had a great day on our bus today. Man, thankful for the bus workers and thankful for my captain. Hey, thankful for that couple that came to church that got saved. Wasn't that exciting last week? That couple, they got saved here. They got baptized on the same day that their child got dedicated. Let's bring more of that. I'm in on that every day of the week. Let's stand together. Let's stand together just for a minute. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head, just for a minute. Now look, I'm not trying to be right. And I know, look, we're in the technology age. I get it. And I'm not a technophobe. I use it heavily. It helps me. But I want to use it right. And I'll be honest, there's been times I've had an email or something, and I got a reply, and I'll type it out. Like, okay, I'm just going to be honest here. And then I read it, and I'm like, that was harsh. And usually I take off all the sentences but the first one. Because I realized I was not the first reaction wasn't the best. And so let's work on that. Father, I thank you for this evening. I thank you for the group that's here. I was a little bit straightforward because I'm trying to get the point across, but I hope we get it. I hope we understand that we're wrecking our lives, we're wrecking other people's lives, and we're bringing a black eye to the cause of Christ when we're not careful. Help us. The piano's going to play. Why don't you come? God spoke to you. If you come, and that doesn't mean you've been online. By the way, let me say this. Say, I don't have social media, Pastor. How are you in your interpersonal relationships? Because it's the same thing. You may not go online and say it, but you go to work in the break room and you said, hey, that other employee over there, so-and-so, blah, 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 blah. Is that the same thing? Because Proverbs was written long before social media ever existed, because it's a human problem, isn't it?